The Elijah Message, a special message for end-time families that turns the hearts of fathers and mothers to their children and children to their parents. What is this special message, and how do we go about giving it a voice? I'm Larry Bewerke, your host for Probe, again welcoming Eileen Bauer, our visiting lecturer in Biblical Studies, and Dave Thomas, the Dean of Walla Walla College's School of Theology. Welcome to Probe.
Thank you, Larry. This is the last one for the quarter, isn't it?
It sure is.
That's a good reminder, Dave. And I suppose also to be approached with a great deal of sadness and that we're coming to the conclusion of our time here. And yet I suppose there might be a element of celebration because the end is upon us. And but that does put us in touch with again the Elijah message. In the lesson we focus on Elijah's experience. At several points, his thinking he's the only one. His confrontation with the prophets of Baal on Carmel, his experience with the Syrophoenician woman and her gracious hospitality, mm-hmm. and how that was appreciated and rewarded.
And his challenge of speaking the word of God into the brokenness of human life.
Yes. I'm just curious to know, as we think of ourselves as the sort of end-time church with the challenges of a time of trouble that is we're headed into, certainly challenges for our families living in our contemporary world, the conflicts between true faith and sidetracked religion. What kind of lessons can we draw from the story of Elijah and his experiences?
Well, I think I would sum it up probably with three words, that God is faithful. We see all of the events that you are, talking about as end-time events in the story of Elijah. And we see God's faithfulness to him in his time of trouble. We see, this, who will you worship? Where is your focus? Is it on God or is it on a false God? And yet you see at moments Elijah's discouragement. You see him wondering. And I love that about the life of Elijah, because I think we can all see ourselves in various aspects of his life.
There is good news in that reassurance that no matter how high or how low, God is always present.
Right.
And God is doing something, too. From the very beginning of the believing community in the Judeo-Christian history, anyway, there has been the understanding that our first parents lost their original standing because of sin, but that God has been working a process through history that is going to restore that. And that restoration finally involves human beings. You look in the book of Revelation and you see this vast throng standing up in heaven, and it says that they are people who are saved from the earth. When I think of Elijah, I think of his task of announcing or keeping before the people of his day the fact that God is doing something in the sense of establishing a kingdom of righteousness into which we are invited to come.
And Elijah's surprise when God pulled back the curtain and said, you're not the only one.
Yeah. In fact, that's quite a chapter in Elijah's life, isn't it? I'm the only one left. A pity party supreme.
But that is good news, too. There are many families who are loyal and true and faithful in their relationships to God and to each other.
It's kind of like going to the doctor to find out that you're not the only person who has this problem and it is treatable.
Good news indeed.
Well, Dave, you were picturing the final restoration, the final resolution of the sin problem, God making all things new again. And a part of that picture, I think for me, for many of us, contains the idea of family reunions. That which we've lost through sin and the reign of death is finally triumphed over by life, by goodness, by love. And well, I'm just wondering what family reunions we might look forward to, what you might be looking forward to.
You know, every day when I drive to work, Larry, I drive by a cemetery. And I drive by it for a couple of blocks, and it's beautiful with its trees and grass. And yet I am reminded of the pain that is there and is represented by that. And also because both of my parents are buried. And so when I think of family reunion, to me, it means being with those I haven't seen for a while and catching up.
Yeah, I like that. You know, when I think of family reunions, I think of extended family, not just immediate family. You know, as a boy growing up, I can remember on a couple of occasions, and because my parental families were scattered far and wide, this was a rare occurrence. But I remember on several occasions where all the brothers and sisters and the whole clan assembled at some location, and what a high time! Not only because there were all kinds of cousins to play with, but because you learned to know and see life through the stories of uncles and aunts and grandparents, and, you know, families get together and share all these stories, and your whole sense of history grows, and you learn, you know, you learn some funny stories. You learn my grandparents went through the war in the Congo in the 1960s and lost everything they had. They escaped just narrowly with their own lives. And when that was over, my grandfather happened to go into a store where they had a jar and it had a bunch of clothespins in it. And if you guessed the closest to the actual number, you won some stuff. And he, being of a fairly mathematical mind, went and he tried to estimate the volume of that and the volume of a clothespin. He ended up winning and having restored back to him some utensils. I don't know if it was a whole set of dishes or something, but in our family that was a story that was told with great delight because of how what was lost was brought back. And, you know, so family reunions, I think especially the eternal one, is going to be where there will be nothing broken.
And I like your idea of stories. I like that. And I think of that also with eternity. Can you imagine the stories that we will hear?
Yeah.
Wonderful. And I think it can be a hope for people who, there are people out there who the thought of a family reunion when they think of their family isn't a good feeling.
No, that's true.
And so in the best sense, when we think of the reunion eternally, it'll be good.
But not all of it will be good because some people won't be there. And, you know, I have a friend who came from a family of 13, and 12 of those 13 grew up to be productive, upright, honest citizens, and one of them turned out to be a rascal. And I will never forget how he told the story of how they would always go back to mother's house for Thanksgiving. And he said that mother would always ask, "Are all the children here now?" And they would say yes, and she would say, "Does that include this number 13?
Yes.
And I have a feeling that in heaven, God, there will still be that question.
Mm.
What about the 13th one or the whichever number it was? It was a very moving story.
And it will continue to be. Why? One of the neat things about stories, it seems to me, is that we'll be able to listen to and hear other family stories with the idea that we are now of one great family in the way that God intended for us to be.
But Larry, you'll also get to hear the story from God's side.
Mm.
And I think right now we only have glimpses of it, but there are so many loose ends and so many unknowns that to be able to hear, you know, to be able to go behind the scenes and see what was going on, to me is going to be...
Well, that's the way it was.
Yeah, I'm going to spend a lot of time back there.
Well, I've tried to imagine what it's going to be like to sit down with my guardian angel and hear about all those experiences in which he intervened or stepped in.
And he'll tell you that it's sometimes he called for reinforcements, right?
I'm sure that's true. But that is a fascinating idea, isn't it? When the curtain is pulled back and we can see the involvement, we can see all of those times that God has worked.
And the book of Job is one place where you get a glimpse of that in the Bible. You know, you see everything that's happening to Job, and then you can go behind the scenes at least in part. And I think there are many, many stories about our lives and circumstances and even the grand scheme of things that'll be unfolded to us. And what about to visit with people from ancient times, the notables from ancient times? That's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
You know, in the sense, too, when there's a family reunion, say you meet at a park or wherever, sometimes you see people and they all have a T-shirt, you know, matching T-shirts. But you know you belong.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a part of this family. And I stop to think about what heaven will be because, you know, we can use the term family and we all belong. And what an incredible thought that is.
So you think we're all going to be wearing matching T-shirts up there?
Ah, T-shirts of light, maybe? I hope not, Larry.
Well, my father ended every family prayer with the wish that we would all be together, an unbroken family.
Wow.
In the earth made new.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that prayer continues to resonate in my heart, not only as a memorial to my father's eternal love for his family, but as a covenant of faithfulness to be there for that family reunion when all things are restored and made new again. May that prayer sustain you as well. Dave, Eileen, thank you for your Elijah qualities and leading us to think together about families of faith this quarter. And thank you too, Susan, for your faithfulness in producing this program for us. For Probe, I'm Larry Biberka.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.